We want to thank you very much for coming. We know a number of you came a long way to come here. We don't take that for granted. We are very appreciative. We enjoy the people we live in community with, but we also enjoy our conference friends, if you know what I mean. If you go to conferences or if you attend conferences, there are people you see two times a year or three times a year at a conference, and true, genuine friendships and lasting relationships can develop that way. We're very grateful for those of you who come here for this event or other related events and who come repeatedly. We're very, very grateful for that. And so I wanted to say that first. The second thing, this is just a final charge, a final exhortation, a final manifesto that we do tag it to the end of the conference, just a few minutes long. And I wanted to make this a very practical exhortation. The question that comes up in every true-hearted Christian is, yes, but what do I do? What do I do? Where can I go to be effective? And your duty, if you ask yourself, what is my responsibility? Where is my responsibility? Where is my duty? The answer is always right in front of you. Your duty is the next step. So what do you do? The exhortation is, do the next thing. Do the next thing. And that next thing, and this is the glory of God, how he builds kingdoms and communities and towns and movements and churches and denominations and reformations and revivals. The next thing need not be glorious in the world's eyes. Most of the time, it isn't. Most of the time, it isn't. So the next thing, you might say, no, you can't just say, do the next thing, because if I just give a blanket statement, your duty is the next thing. Just take the next step. But that could be changing a diaper. That could be offering to babysit. That could be taking your wife out. That could be seeking someone's forgiveness. That, you know, the next thing could be very pedestrian, and seem pedestrian to us. We are like Naaman the Syrian who got angry when he was told to wash in this Jewish river. And if the prophet had told him to climb the highest mountain, he would have done it. If he told him, you know, climb the highest mountain and you'll cure your leprosy, he would have done it. If you conquer five armies, he would have done it. Do the labors of Hercules, he would have done it. And he tells him to do the next thing. Just here's this thing right here, this simple thing, this humble thing. When we give ourselves to God, when we surrender ourselves completely to God, and it's the consecration offering, basically, and we say, God, use me, do whatever. God is the one who is orchestrating this complex story that is taking thousands of years to unfold. It's like you remember when I was a kid, there was, you know, a cop show would be a half hour long, like Dragnet, right? A half hour show, a simple-minded crime performed by some simpleton, and two cops figuring out what you figured out in the first 5 minutes of the show, and they walk through it, and at the end, and now cop shows are an hour long. They've got 17 different threads and plots and 38 characters, and you've got to be a devotee. You've got to give yourself away to this series for the season, if you can even hope to understand. And that's just the transformation from a half-hour cop show to an hour cop show, from one episode to a season. God is writing an adventure. God is writing a story that involves thousands of years, billions of characters, and all of it is weaving back and forth, and not one of us can hope to understand all the complexities of the big picture. Right? We don't understand it now. But we can learn our part, and we can be faithful in our part. We can play our part, our assigned part, well, or poorly. We can play our role obediently or disobediently. And when it's done, when the story is over, when the last trump sounds, when we're all gathered in front of the throne of God, billions of us, all rejoicing in the Lamb that was slain, we're going to look back on human history. At that moment, we're going to look back on human history, and we're all going to say together, that is the best story I ever heard. Right? That's the way it's going to turn out. And you know the sensation you have when you're reading a great novelist and you're reading and you're in story grip and your face has got that funny expression and you're saying, how is he going to get out of it? And you look at how many pages are left and you think, 30 pages, how can he get out of it in 30 pages and then 20 pages? And how is this going to possibly happen? Well, God is the consummate author of all things. He is telling a story that is glorious. It's going to glorify his name. It's going to beautify his bride. It's going to magnify the wisdom of God. And there's going to be a day when we all see it. And we're all going to see it together. And we're going to praise the wisdom of God, seeing it together. So that, knowing that that is going to happen at the end, can encourage you now to do the next thing. All you have to do is play your part. You know your lines, right? Your line should be to comfort your wife. You know what you ought to say. Your assigned line is to forgive your neighbor. Your assigned line, the Bible tells you, here's your lines. This is what you say. This is how you respond. This is when your mom asks you to make your bed. You know what to say. It's right there. Children, obey your parents. Yes, mom, cheerfully, from the heart. Yeah, that's your line, right? And so when you're looking at your responsibility and duty, you take the next step knowing that this trivial thing that seems trivial to you does not seem trivial to God. Right? Because he's the storyteller. He's the one who's given us all these parts. He's the one who's telling this magnificent story. He's the one who has done something that is so far over all of our heads that we can do nothing but adore his wisdom. And the people who are going to enjoy that moment at the end, I think we're all, every saved Christian is going to enjoy it a lot. But I think some people are going to enjoy it more because they've begun to anticipate. They've begun to see what I think I'm getting a glimmer of what he's going to do. And the people who are going to be able to do that are the people who are just simply engaged in doing the next thing. What's the next thing? Picking the kids up from school. Doing your piano lessons. Doing your homework. Doing what your boss asked you to do. That's the next thing. It's just do the next thing. Take the next step according to the word, cheerfully. Whatever you do, Paul says, whether eating or drinking. And that means Paul is saying, down to the last McDonald's French fry. Because he's talking about eating and drinking. Down to the last fry in the bottom of the little cardboard thingy. Why do you want to get that out of there? For the glory of God. And somebody's going to say, you're just saying that. You just want the French fry. Well, that too. Right? We're not Gnostics, and we just receive what God has given to us, the way he's given it to us, and rejoice in it. Take it easy. Take the next step. Do the next thing. And walk in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for this conference. We're very encouraged by it. We're grateful for what you give to us in and through it. We commit it all to you. I pray for traveling mercies for those who are returning home. I pray that you'd make their way pleasant and swift. I pray for our visitors who stay, who are staying over the weekend to worship with us. I pray you'd receive our worship in the morning, which we commit to you. We ask that you would take what was said and done here and do great things with it. and we ask that you would permit us to see some of it so that we might be encouraged. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.